send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you again, as always, for taking the time to listen to the message this morning. I am honored that you keep coming back to listen to a perspective, a preaching from the perspective that Christ is king right now. The men's little g governments are not king. They are not ordained by God to exist in the new covenant world. They are in place, not because God put them there and told people to obey them. They are there because they have proven themselves time and time again to be rebellious, to be totally dismissive, if not just downright ignorant, of the fact that there is a God in heaven that is supposed to be honored and obeyed, and they move earth to make proselytes to their evil faith, their system of belief that teaches that God himself has mandated for people to obey them, in clear violation and opposition to the very clear teachings contained in the Bible. Before I go on, I want to remind you that Kingdom Conference 2021, the fall edition, is rapidly approaching. And we've still got some rooms available, and we're praying for bodies to fill those rooms so that we can expand our fellowship with other like-minded believers. Ted will be here preaching. I'll be preaching. Matthew, Paul, Jerry is going to be preaching. Doug, Sam, all have messages either prepared or they're being prepared. And we need to be together. The conference is what the world calls October 28th through the 31st. And it's at the Maranatha Bible Camp and Event Center, which is just outside of Springfield, Missouri. And the facilities are tremendous. And we just really, really hope that you can come and be with us for that weekend. Now, the bodies have all been neatly piled onto the street corners around here, you know, but they're all out of the way of the streets, so you can get here without having to dodge all the dead bodies. And boy, what a relief that is. I've seen so many people come out in the media promoting Trump's lethal injection. And I understand why, quote, Republican types would have done that had Trump been the one designated to the position of ruler of the U.S., but since whoever it is that's running the show decided that they wanted Biden to be their spokesman instead of Trump, and with the way Biden is promoting the lethal injections, I wonder why so many Trump supporters are out there in the media telling people to take the lethal injections. Well, it's really not that difficult to figure out, especially when our faith, our system of belief, tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to just unload this morning with some righteous indignation. And I hope that you see where I'm going with this. For me, it's actually going to be a lot of fun. But I'm going to let off some steam here this morning. So anyway, like they say, just follow the money. Follow the money. And we'll learn some things that way. But the love of money is the root of all evil, is what the word says. Well, in the news this past week, there is a demon-possessed man. And I hope you know me well enough by now to know that I'm not talking about Hollywood-style demon possession. I'm talking about being possessed with the teachings of whatever the rebellious Antichrist enemy was, whatever it was, and that was mentioned many times in our Bibles. You know, none of us can really say with all assuredness exactly what that entity was, but whatever it was, past tense, it was an enemy of the saints, it was an enemy of Christ, it was an enemy of God, it was rebellious, it wanted to take the place of God, and it was, once and for all, destroyed by Christ at the end of the age, at the end of the old covenant world, but nonetheless, its effect in God's creation can still be seen today. Just like Judaism, just like the synagogue, just like the Pharisees, just like all the other opposers of Christ and his kingdom. The rebellious people in the world who refuse to bow the knee to Christ do whatever they can do to keep that spirit of Antichrist alive. And I don't mean spirit as in some ghost being that the churches in Hollywood have made so much money off of. I'm talking about the attitude, the teachings, the tenets, the belief system. That's what I'm talking about. And these people have done a really, really good job in keeping all that going. So when I say the phrase demon-possessed, I'm not talking about spinning heads like The Exorcist or deep, scary voices or cats climbing the walls. I'm actually talking about the exact opposite in this instance. I'm talking about perfectly dressed, not a hair out of place, not a speck of dirt under a fingernail, lily white, non-drinking, non-smoking, non-cussing, Baptist preachers, quote-unquote, like the one in Dallas, Texas, named Robert Jeffress, demon-possessed. This one takes the prize in my book for being the top demon-possessed, or one of the top, if not the top, at least in the top five going today. I spoke briefly last week about the vaccine exemption forms that they're trying to get people to fill out. And as that resistance seems to be gaining a little traction, well, leave it to the demon-possessed Baptist, quote, preacher to jump into the fray and do his part in quashing the rebellion. Then ask yourself why, when for most of our lives we've heard these types of people say that they're supposed to stay out of politics. Why would someone like Jeffress do this? All right, this article is from the Business Insider back on the 19th. The headline is Texas Megachurch Preacher and Trump Devotee Says There Is No Credible Religious Argument Against COVID-19 Vaccines. Quote, as Republican lawmakers rage against President Joe Biden's sweeping vaccine mandates, the Associated Press reported that religious exemptions are becoming more widely used as a, quote, loophole to avoid getting a COVID-19 vaccine. All right, let's just stop here for just a second. Now, once again, I know this is going to be hard to hear, but if I don't say the truth, then I'm just as bad as the ones I'm railing against this morning. But if we were living the way that we were supposed to be living, and listen now, I'm not picking on one person here. Millions are in this boat, not just one person. But the reality is, if we are faced with needing a, quote, exemption, I don't care what it is, not just the COVID lethal injection, any exemption, we need to re-examine the way we're living, because if we're living the life that the Bible teaches, we would not be asked to provide exemptions. Exemptions are for the we the people of the U.S. who do not want to abide by public policy. Living the way that we're supposed to live, we're outside of every single public policy that they have in place. And just like the United Nations people who are not subject to the, quote, statutes of New York City, we aren't either. But for those who are still trying to come out and be separate, still trying to figure that out, I still want you to know that using their exemption form is a bad idea. I want you to stay with me now. God in heaven commanded you to work. Working is not a privilege that some little g government gives. Working is a commandment from God, and no puny little peon man anywhere is allowed to put restrictions on your work that God himself does not restrict. So make your own statement. Don't use their forms. Their forms are traps. It's the cheese on the mouse trap. Stand on your own, make your own declarations, and tell these people you will not take their lethal injection. And furthermore, as a child of God, a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, it's not even any of their business what your reasons are for rejecting the lethal injection. You don't owe them a reason why you won't take their lethal injection. Now, if you choose to give them one, okay, that's between you and God. But God doesn't require you to give them a reason. If you want to create a statement testifying to the kingship of Christ, then by all means, I'd never stand in the way. In fact, I'd even help you write the thing if you wanted me to. But the reason that I talked with you last week about their form was, again, it was to show you that they've already been preparing for resistors and have planned it to the point where they want to argue that it isn't really a religious conviction because, after all, if you take a Tylenol, then you fail the religious test. Well, it's no business of theirs whether you took a Tylenol 15 years ago or not, 15 days ago. It's none of their business. And by the way, I was actually very, very happy to see a photo sent to me at the end of last week's message with drugs in it that was thrown into the trash can. Well, that's where they belong. They do not believe in belong in the bodies of followers of Christ, no more than this lethal injection does. You know, we can't trust these people who are outside of the kingdom of God for anything they do. You can't trust them for a Tylenol. You can't trust that a Tylenol doesn't violate the laws of God, putting that garbage, those chemicals, those drugs into our bodies. So keep your eyes wide open when dealing with anyone outside the city of God. And speaking again about people who are outside the city of God, let's get back to what effeminate Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, had to say last week. The article continues. It's amazing that this is what the secular writers say about this Baptist preacher. But a Trump-loving preacher at a Texas megachurch has decreed that there is no credible religious argument for turning down a shot, the Associated Press said. The Reverend Robert Jeffress. All right, let me stop again. The phrase, the Reverend, is found nowhere in the Bible. How dare a common man, especially a demon-possessed, effeminate false teacher, allow someone to call him Reverend? That's absolutely disgusting. The Reverend Robert Jeffress, a pastor of the 12,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, told the news agency that he and his staff are neither offering exemption letters nor encouraging members of their congregation to seek out religious exemptions from coronavirus mandates. That's actually true. Not only are they not discouraging the lethal injection, but they, just like the mega, quote, church in Springfield, Missouri, allowed their facilities to be used to administer the lethal injection to people in their communities. And I'm going to get into the why about why they did that here in just a minute. Remember, again, follow the money. The article continues. And this is what effeminate, demon-possessed Jeffress was quoted as saying. Christians who are troubled by the use of a fetal cell line for the testing of the vaccines, as if that's just a ho-hum, you know, I can't believe you Christians, you people that call yourself Christians, would be troubled by the use of a fetal cell line. I mean, good grief, for taken from aborted babies. Nah, that's no big deal. But he says they would also have to abstain from the use of Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, ibuprofen, and other products that use the same cell line if they are sincere in their objection, said Jeffress in an email. It's unbelievable. He might as well be the spokesman for Planned Parenthood. It's absolutely unbelievable. If he knew anything about the Bible, he would have been preaching against all of those things a long time ago. Not just the lethal injection, he'd have been preaching against all of that a long time ago. But he doesn't have enough Bible knowledge to fill a thimble. Article continues. Jeffress, who once suggested that he would vote for former President Donald Trump over somebody who embodies the teachings of Jesus, is one of many religious leaders who have recently opposed the use of religious exemption letters, end quote. There's a YouTube channel called The Young Turks, and they really should be called The Young Jerks, but I found this, and I want you to hear this. This is what we're up against in our generation. This is demon possession within the so-called church. I want you to listen to this. And they, these godless men that put on this podcast, this is what they had to say about the Reverend Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Listen to this.
Christian megachurch pastor who had previously, during the Republican primary, told voters that they should only vote for the most biblical candidate is now saying he would vote for Donald Trump over Jesus Christ himself, which seems crazy, but it's the case. So here's a section of his recent remarks. This is Pastor Jeffress.
I mean, listen to these guys. They can't contain their laughter. They're mocking because they know what they're getting ready to hear. The demon-possessed, quote, Reverend Robert, is getting ready to say that he would vote for Donald Trump instead of voting for Christ himself, which we know is totally stupid anyway. The King of Kings is far above the wicked, rebellious office of president anyway. But nonetheless, the point is that this demon-possessed Baptist, quote, preacher prefers Trump over Christ.
I did enthusiastically support him from the beginning because I believed he was the only one who was electable and could beat Hillary Clinton. But as far as his worldview, Trump's worldview, you know, I was debating an evangelical professor on NPR, and this professor said, Pastor, don't you want a candidate who embodies the teaching of Jesus and would govern this country according to the principles found in the Sermon on the Mount? I said, heck no. I would run from that candidate as far as possible because the Sermon on the Mount was not given as a governing principle for this nation. Nowhere is government told to forgive those who wrong it. Nowhere is government commanded to turn the other cheek. Government is to be a strong man to protect its citizens against evildoers.
When I'm
looking for somebody who's going to deal with ISIS and exterminate ISIS, I don't care about that candidate's tone or vocabulary. I want the meanest, toughest son of a you-know-what I can find.
Okay.
And I believe that's biblical.
But I want him to exterminate him. I'm not going to swear, but I want people to be murdered.
Yeah. He said at the end, and I think that's biblical, after saying earlier that, no, I don't want the candidate to be like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You might be a tad confused.
That's why he added that on at the end, because I think he realized, oh my God, this sounds crazy.
Well, again, you know, this is a result of not knowing Jesus. This is a result of not knowing Christ the King. And since he's possessed by a devil, instead of being immersed into Christ, he's totally clueless as to the teachings of Christ from Matthew chapter 5. He's so clueless that he exposes himself as the true dark angel that he is, and actually says he would run as fast as he could from Christ himself. And of course, that's exactly what he and hundreds of thousands of other Baptist, quote, preachers all across America in this world do. And they do everything they can do to lead others away from the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. This is despicable. It's disgusting. While this effeminate, demon-possessed, quote, preacher does not know what Christ was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, no more than what Christ was teaching in Luke 20. The fact remains that he prefers, and you heard him say it, he prefers the godless infidels, thinks that they could, quote, rule better than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is just incredible. And that's what we're up against. So for some of you warriors out there that are dealing with the puke fillers or the pew fillers, and you can't get them to see the truth, well, now you know why the sheeples are so messed up. And this article continues, and I'm going to be done with this thing. But the AP reported that leaders of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, once again, words that aren't found, not even found in the scripture, but they said Thursday, aside from medical reasons, well, like avoiding a lethal injection that could kill you or maim you or whatever, there is no exemption in the Orthodox Church for her faithful from any vaccination for religious reasons. Similarly, the news agency reported that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of New York have also said that they're not in support of exemption letters, according to the AP. Matthew sent me something, oh, I don't know, a week or so ago that was pretty funny. And I'm pretty sure that it was about this Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But on their Facebook page, they had put something on there about being the first to ordain or something like that, the first openly transgender pastor in their organization. And then there was whatever you call it in Facebook, where someone likes the statement or whatever, but there was a statement on there from the Church of Satan that simply said, getting there. You know, and of course, you know, and this is totally to be expected from the most popular, quote, churches in the U.S. They are nothing but extensions of the state, and they get rewarded handsomely for being so. Now, to be totally fair, the article does continue with a few paragraphs about some, quote, churches who are willing to pass out exemptions. But of course, now listen, one pastor in Tulsa has even said that he will sign a religious exemption letter, how wonderful, if people donate to his church, the Washington Post reported, end quote. So, if the love of money is the root of all evil, as the scriptures say, I got to wondering this week if that had anything to do with Jeffress or the James River, quote, church in Springfield, in addition to just the open demonic possession, as to why they would make the statements that they make, why they would be holding these vaccine clinics in their buildings. So anyway, I found a website called federalpay.org, and it shows where the COVID paycheck protection fraudulent payments were sent to. I mean, you can also find this information right on the Small Business Administration website too. But, and I told you this about a year ago, I found the official record where Robert Jeffress and his religious business corporation applied for and received a PPP COVID paycheck protection program loan. Now, this is used to pay salaries. Okay, and a side note, okay, when you get the time, you might want to study the origins of the word salary. And again, I know so much of what I say is painful to hear for the ones who are, you know, wanting to listen. But I've got to tell you the truth. Christians should not be, quote, salaried. I know it's not fun to hear. And believe me, it's not fun for me to say these things. And especially because I know that so many of you are seeking truth. You want to live in the kingdom of God. We all do. I know that. But brethren, we need to make some changes. And while it may seem like it's too late for some of us, nothing is impossible with our God. There's no temptation taking you that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, there's not an age restriction on that promise. with the bad news, with the bad news that we've messed up. We're not doing things the way that we're supposed to. There's always good news that comes with it. If we will take the steps, God will provide. He's faithful. He'll do what he said he would do if we will obey his word. Well, anyway, the website says that demon-possessed Robert Jeffress, well, I'll just read it to you. It said, this is what it says. First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas is a nonprofit organization located at 1707 San Jacinto Street in Dallas, Texas, that received a coronavirus-related PPP loan from the SBA of $2,277,135 in April of 2020. Okay, this is paycheck protection. This is for salaries at the Baptist Church. $2,277,135 in April 2020. Okay, so his business, which is just like the liquor store and the abortion clinic and Planned Parenthood, which received the PPP loan, his business applied for the PPP loan to help pay, quote, church salaries of $2.227 million. But that's okay because, well, I mean, it's a loan and his government business will pay his God back. Well, not so fast because there's more. In June of this year, Robert Jeffress' $2.28 million PPP loan was, guess what? Forgiven. By June of this year, his $2.28 million loan had accrued interest all the way up to $2.9 million. But imagine that. The whole thing was just canceled. In all these times where you see Trump and Jeffress hugging each other and standing with each other and talking with each other, you think that Trump didn't tell Jeffress the plan, what was going to be happening with all this? Throw your support behind me, throw your support behind the government, and, it's going to pay off for you. Okay, I've got the links to these things on the website. You can take a look and see this stuff for yourself. And this man has been pushing the Trump lethal injection. He's held lethal injection clinics in his buildings, and now he's telling people that they can't biblically reject a lethal injection mandate. Well, friends, this man is demon-possessed. And I thought just for kicks that I'd go ahead and look up James River, quote, church, the one here in Springfield that used their facilities for the lethal injections. And of course, they received almost as much as Jeffress did, $2.1 million. And I also looked to find the status of that payoff. And also in June of this year, poof, forgiven. Payoffs for their support of a wicked, godless government. Let's move on. Did you see this one? Do you recall the new rights hero DeSantis down there in Florida telling schools that they couldn't mandate the masks? Well, there was a school district in, I'm going to just say Alachua, it's what it looks like to me, Alachua County, that defied DeSantis. And then DeSantis took away the school district's funds. Well, then this happened, quote, or this is the headline, Biden administration awards $150,000 to Florida district that resisted DeSantis' ban on mask mandates, Thursday, September 23, 2021. Washington, the Biden administration said on Thursday that it was reimbursing a Florida school district that lost state money for imposing a mask mandate in opposition to a ban on such orders from Governor Ron DeSantis, the pro-Trump Republican. The award to Alachua County Public Schools of $147,719 is the first in the nation. It effectively compensates for the money lost in September. Broward County in South Florida also saw state funds taken away because it ordered masking in schools. The loss in Alachua County amounted to $13,400 a month. Imposed in late July, so they lost $13,400 and Biden sent them $147,719 in its place. Wow, that's a good gig. Imposed in late July, the DeSantis ban led to a war of words between the strident governor and the White House, as well as an accompanying ongoing court fight. Alachua is the first district in the country to receive a reimbursement for following Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines, as well as the advice of most public health officials. And the article continues. I'll leave it here in the notes for anyone who wants to read the rest of it. So there's a payoff directly from Biden's, quote, government to the school districts for refusing the mask, for refusing to not require masks. And we would think that it is it a stretch that the, quote, government forgave these PPPA or these PPP loans to these, quote, churches for holding vaccine lethal injection clinics in their facilities? Not a stretch for me at all. That the U.S. government bribes school districts to rebel against their own, quote, governors, it's not a stretch to think that these, quote, churches got their multi-million dollar, quote, loans forgiven as a payoff for holding the lethal injection clinics in their facilities. Now, then, as if this can't get any better, it was reported this week that Pfizer, and this is just Pfizer, not all the other lethal injection providers, Pfizer made $19 billion in quarter two this year, or $211 million per day. Some known risks of their lethal injection are blood clots and cardiomyopathy. Luckily for them, they make Eliquis for treating blood clots, sales up 13%, and they also make Vindicel to treat cardiomyopathy, sales are up 77%. Well, isn't this a lot of fun? For the life of me, I don't understand why the gospel, the good news that we can all become citizens of a perfectly flawless government with a perfectly flawless king, with a perfectly flawless law book, I don't understand why people are not running as fast as they can from people like Jeffress and running to Yeshua the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I hope some of that was enjoyable for you this morning, because it was for me. I got to tell you, it was just highly enjoyable for me to call these people what they are. They're demon-possessed. And I know I'm not supposed to. I think I'm supposed to call them maybe Jesus-deprived or spiritually challenged or something like that. But I just had to backslide there just a little bit and call it like I see it. They're demon-possessed. And I really think that's the most accurate, most appropriate description. All right, let's move on. In this new series of messages, Predestination versus Whosoever Will, I want you to know that this is what I believe, okay? I believe it's the most logical conclusion to the dilemma of reconciling predestination, whosoever will. But you need to know that this is not a point of separation with me. If after hearing these messages, you don't agree, okay, that's not a point of fellowship with me. It's not like someone is demon-possessed that they don't see this the same way I do. Okay, I just want to share the conclusions that I've come to after many years of study and from a perspective that definitely is not mainstream by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, and I also want to reiterate to you again that I by no means believe that God has forsaken his creation to sink or swim. I don't believe that at all. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. He created the wind and the sea, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I believe that he set them all in motion, and he doesn't have to micromanage those things to keep them doing what he created them to do. I don't believe that creation, his creation, stopped with Genesis chapter 2. He created and managed down to the very most minute detail everything in his creation, then he set it in motion. And I believe that he did this all the way through until the end of the old covenant world. I do believe that he managed down to the very most minute detail everything in the old covenant world. Now, interestingly enough, early on in this series, when the questions were coming in, maybe a little bit more than they are now, people were telling me that they just cannot accept that God is not micromanaging in the new world also. But that's fine. But now I'm hearing some from some of those same people that the people in the old world did have their own choices. But yet, just a few weeks ago, some of these same guys that were writing to me, they were still advocating for predestination, even through the new covenant world, but yet now are talking about choices in the old world. Okay, and I believe a lot of this is because this is so difficult to wrap our minds around. And I think just because it's difficult doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. I think that we should try as hard as we can, if need be, to figure out even the deep mysteries of the scripture. Now, I read intently everything that comes into my email, at least everything I see. You know, some emails are slipping by. I've told you before, if you don't hear back from me, and if you don't hear back from me soon, resend it, because I may not have seen it. I don't ignore anyone on purpose. But the more I dig, the more I listen, the more I read, the more I'm concluding that predestination and foreordination were for the old covenant world, and whosoever will is for the new. But with that, I'm absolutely not saying that God no longer intervenes in our lives. I don't believe it for one bit. We can never, listen now, we can never let our own life experiences override the teachings of the Bible. You know, there are coincidences. For instance, I was listening to the radio this past week while driving down the interstate, and there was something on the radio about a man named Paschal, P-A-S-C-H-A-L, and that was on the radio while I was listening. Well, the exact same time the word Paschal was spoken on the radio, and that's not a common name by any stretch, but I glanced over at a billboard on the side of the interstate, and guess what word was there? Big, huge, Paschal, with the same spelling. Well, that's a coincidence. That's all it is. The Bible says time and chance happeneth to all. But there are things that have happened in my life, and I've told you how I met Teresa, my wife of 32 years. Let me stop for a second, because I'm so saddened when I hear stories about godly men truly committed to the kingdom of God, and their spouses want nothing to do with it. And in many cases, they make life really hard for the ones who just simply want to follow Christ. And here I am, young, in my middle 20s, pretty much given up on ever finding someone to be my wife. And I'm just driving down the road one day, and I look over and I see Teresa, and I tell her to pull over, and she did. And now we've been married for 32 years and have been on the same page with every single important issue in life. Never a disagreement on anything important. And Teresa and I, absolutely believe that our story has the hand of God working all over that story. And I just find it nearly impossible to believe that that was just a coincidence. I led her to Christ, and she's been a devoted, fully immersed follower of Christ for 32 years. And that story is amazing. So no, while I believe that God chooses not to know who will accept his son and who will not, so that whosoever will is truly free will, it's truly a choice, that does not mean that God does not move on our behalf. It doesn't mean that God doesn't move things into people's lives in hopes that they will be presented with the opportunity to accept Christ. I believe we've not even scratched the surface as to what God does and does not do in the new covenant world. But I refuse to put our current situation in this generation, with all the evil that is proliferating, I refuse to believe that it is happening because it is, quote, the will of God. The will of God is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are no lockdowns in heaven. There are no vaccine mandates and vaccine passports in heaven. There's no Joe Biden or Donald Trump in heaven. King Jesus is there, and he rules in the lives of all who will allow his reign. And when there's enough of his followers to make a dent in society, his reign will increase. That's what I believe. when the gospel, the true gospel, not the demon-possessed theology of churchianity, when the true gospel of the kingdom of Christ is preached and then embraced by the people, it can and will spread, and when his rule is in place, the people rejoice. Otherwise, the people mourn. I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning. And we've seen this 100 times before in my messages, but in light of what we saw last week in John chapter 3, I believe again, we'll see the introduction of whosoever will once again at the end of the old covenant age. So let's begin in verse 1. Actually, this is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, not chapter 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. Okay, now remember again, this is fulfillment of Bible prophecy. That's what he just said. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. All right, right here, we see very clearly that what is being discussed is the end of the old covenant age. This is from the prophecies. This is what the prophets were talking about. This is the last days of the old world. That's what the phrase the last days means. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. All right, once again, his coming. When did that occur? At the end of the old world, in the last days. But look at what else is said here. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They were saying, nothing has changed. Things are still taking place in the same manner as they always did. But those believers knew that change was coming. Peter knew that change was coming. Not yet, but very soon. At his coming, there would be major changes. But as it was, when Peter was being caused to write what he wrote, the major change had not yet taken place. And yet, he's getting ready to address it. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All right, here we see there was a world or an age that ended at the flood. Then there was an age, the one in which Peter and all those of the last century of the old world, that was the age they were in. And that age, that world which was then, by the same word, was kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, which was going to be taking place at the coming of Christ, at the soon coming of Christ. That time period was on those people. And Peter is explaining this. Now we get to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now once again, this 1,000 years, one day, he says, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This is exactly the same 1,000 years of Revelation 20. It's the same thing. This is not coincidence. It's the same thing. The book of Revelation is about the judgment, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's talking about the same things. And all of this is occurring in the end of the old covenant world, the old covenant age. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. His promise of what? The promise of his coming. There be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What things? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All right, back to verse 9 again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Okay, now we got to really look at that. Peter, who's the us here? Who's the usward here? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Here again, in the end of the old world, just like we saw last week in John 3:15 through 17, God is not willing that any should perish. And how do we keep them, and how do they keep from perishing? But that all should come to repentance. Now stay here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Okay, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. These are the reasons why I come to the conclusions that I come to, and why I'm sharing them with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. When I compare this with 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe there needs to be a reckoning. We need to understand this. Esau sought for repentance carefully, full of care, concern, with tears, but he was rejected. He found no place of repentance. Esau tried to repent, but he was rejected. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I think it's very important that we see this, okay? Look again, go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look again at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I read this, I don't see Esau here, but is long-suffering to usward. I see this as those saints living at the time Peter was writing. They were in the end of the old world, standing there looking at the new world, something that's different between the days of Esau and the days of Peter. Hey, Esau denied his birthright. Well, Peter denied Christ. Three times Peter denied Christ, but he was forgiven. Esau, the scriptures say, before he was even born, not ever having done any good or evil, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Something has changed. I believe whosoever will is one of the greatest changes to occur in the new world. I believe that if Esau, just like Peter, had been living on the days preceding right up to the new covenant world, he could have repented and had been forgiven. And I still say, even though I'm the only one who understands, even if I'm the only one who understands what I'm trying to say, and I know I'm not because Teresa and others are telling me that they see these things the same way, but whosoever will provides the greatest hope that we can have to turn our generation around for the kingdom of Christ. God is not willing, God is not wanting, nor has he planned for our generation to commit suicide. And friends, when they do, if we're not in ecclesia, it's going to rain hard on us just like it is on them. But God is not willing. It is not his will for us to be destroyed. It was his will to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but that happened as an example to all the generations in the new world. But he doesn't want to see our generation destroyed. He doesn't want to see our lives in misery. He doesn't want us to go through the things that seem to be coming at us full speed. Jeff sent me a video this past week of what the maniacs in the World Economic Forum have said. This was a video they put out. You know, this is what your lives are going to look like. Okay, well, that's not the will of God. That's not what he wants. In this whosoever will world, we can preach the gospel, the kingship of Christ, and a turning to his Father's laws, and people can repent. He will heal our land if we repent and turn from our wicked ways. That's what he wants. What the World Economic Forum wants is not what God wants, and it does not have to be that way. We can have the things that God wants us to have if we will, whosoever will come and drink this water freely that he offers. One of the reasons why I want this message to go out far and wide is because I see and hear so many people sitting on the sidelines of life just saying, well, God's in control. It's all happening just like he wants it to. Well, tell that to the millions of people killed in Russia barely 100 years ago. Tell that to so many others around the world that were just massacred because of the whims of wicked men. Hey, that is not the will of God. It happens because people refuse to heed the warnings. They refuse to see what are such obvious signs of danger. And they were caught in the trap that all you should do is just sit back and watch the show because Jesus is going to ride in at the last minute and rescue us. Well, brethren, that's not going to happen. We are the reason we're in the shape we're in. I know that we're doing all that we can do to warn people and preach to people, and we need to keep on more than ever. But none of this is God's fault. This is not God's will. We are in a whosoever will world. But in order for whosoever will to occur, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The King of Kings must be lifted up. He must be the King in our lives so that others will see that they too have a choice to embrace the King. When the King is lifted up, and he's lifted up by us, when we live the way he wants us to live, no matter what comes against us, no matter what threats there are against us, when we obey the King and demonstrate to a godless world, a Yahweh-less world, that there is another King, one Jesus, when he is lifted up, he will draw all men to him. But we're the ones that do the lifting. We lift him up through our preaching, through our living. If we would obey and begin to build ecclesia, his kingdom, he would be lifted up in a generation that despises him, in a generation where the supposed pastors and preachers, quote unquote, openly declare that they prefer godless infidels over King Jesus. We're not in a world where God is micromanaging the affairs of men to the point where all we should do is sit around and wait. Just settle into life, keep the grass mowed, keep the bills paid, and watch God move. We're in a world where God gave men an owner's manual and said, here, read this, believe it, trust it, and live it. If you do this, you shall live. If you receive my Son, I'll give you water that you will never thirst again. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall surely die. Those are the choices. We've got the free will to choose one or the other. A man can look upon Jesus, can look upon Yeshua the Christ, just like so many others did, as examples written in the scriptures. And they can choose to embrace the king and follow the shepherd. I hope, if nothing else, I hope that I've stirred you to look further and deeper into what I've been saying. And like I said, if you think this preacher has missed it, well, I'd sure like to have more biblical support for that conclusion. There's still more. So here's to hope that we'll all be back again next week to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen and women that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.
Just hold on a little longer. Answers soon to come. The endless waiting's almost over. The victory's almost won. And when again begging for